that responsibility. The ecologists wanted it, but I wrangled it away from them. Holly nodded. Pointing to the still open doorway with a grin, Everly said, "There's a couple who will be loyal to me forever."
"Or until their child becomes a teenager."
Holly did not see any humor in that.
"You wanted to see me?" she said.
"Yes," he said as he snapped his fingers, the signal for his computer to boot up. Holly waited in silence as the image formed above Everly's desk. It was a list of some sort. It was facing him, so to her the hologram was turned backwards, inverted. She sat and waited while he studied the list. The office seemed small and bare and somehow cold. At last he looked up from the image and gazed directly at her. Holly felt those laser blue eyes penetrate to her soul.
"There are going to be some changes in this office," he said, without preamble, without asking how she was or noticing that she was wearing a plain sky blue tunic over her slacks, with no adornments other than her name badge, just as the dress code guidelines called for.
"Changes?"
"Yes," Everly said. "I won't be able to continue directing the day-to-day operations of this office. I will be busy organizing the government of the Habitat."
"Government? But I thought..."
"Holly," he said, leaning forward slightly in his desk chair toward her. She leaned toward him slightly, too.
"Holly, we have 10,000 men and women here. They must have a voice in choosing the kind of government they want, and their leaders."
Holly said, "You mean the government we'll create once we get to Saturn?"
Everly shook his head.
"I don't believe we should wait until we arrive in Saturn orbit. The people should decide on the government they want now. Why wait?"
"But I thought as long as we're in transit out to Saturn,
we must follow the protocols set down by the consortium," Everly finished for her.
"Yes," Holly said.
"Why?"
he demanded.
"Why should we allow ourselves to be governed by rules written by a group of university graybeards who remained behind on Earth? What right do they have to force us to obey their rules?"
Holly thought for a moment. "That's what we agreed to, though."
"It's time to end that agreement. What difference does it make if we do it now or wait until we arrive at Saturn?"
She thought his question cut both ways. Why rush into this now?
"We should not allow arrogant old men to tell us what we can and cannot do," Everly said with some heat. His face was reddening, Holly saw.
"Maybe not," she agreed half-heartedly.
"Of course not," he said. "The people must decide for themselves,
I guess.
These contests you're setting up to pick the names for the villages and everything else, they are a part of my plan," he confided.
That surprised her.
"Your plan?"
"Yes.
By themselves, the contests are little more than trivia, entertainment for the masses, but they serve a larger purpose."
"I click," Holly said. "Getting the people to vote in the contests will be like a sort of training exercise, right? It'll prepare the people to vote for their government when the time comes."
Everly gave her the full radiance of his best smile.
"You are extremely bright, Holly, extremely bright."
She could feel her cheeks grow warm.
"While you are running the contests," he said, growing serious once again, "I must devote all my efforts to drawing up a constitution for the people."
"So, if you're going to be busy setting up this new constitution and everything, who's going to run the office here?"
"You will."
Holly gulped.
"Me?"
He smiled at her surprise.
"Of course you. Who else?"
"But I can't be in charge," she squeaked. "I'm just an assistant, a house mouse."
Everly's smile widened.
"Holly, haven't you been my assistant? What better qualifications for the task can there be?"
She wanted to turn handsprings.
"But do you think the prof will okay me being named director?"
The smile vanished.
"Wilmot," he muttered.
"No. He would definitely not approve of someone as junior as you being named director, him and his rigid regulations."
Holly watched his face, waiting for a ray of hope. I want you to head this office, Holly, he said. You can do the work. I know you can.
I'd do my warpin' best.
Of course you will. But since I can't officially name you director, I must place someone else in the acting director's position, a figurehead, to placate Wilmot.
Figurehead? Who?
Ruth Morgenthau will fill the role nicely. She's working in the administrative services office at present. I can transfer her here, and Wilmot won't blink an eye. Morgenthau, Holly thought. So that's why he's been spending so much time with her. She's rather lazy, you know, he said, grinning naughtily, and rather vain. We'll let her sit at this desk and stay out of your way. You will run the department.
She would do that?
Nodding, he replied, she'd leap at the chance. More prestige, less work. She'll love it.
I click.
Holly tried to grin back at him, but it was forced. He reached across the desk and lifted her chin so he could stare into her eyes. It all depends on you, Holly. Will you take on this responsibility? Will you do this for me? Holly felt a rush of emotion surge through her. Gratitude, loyalty, a longing to please Malcolm Eberly, a yearning to have him love her.
Yes, she said breathlessly. I'll do anything for you, Malcolm.
He smiled dazzlingly and thought, this ought to make Morgenthau happy. The trappings of authority, the whole department to lord it over, it should keep her busy enough to stay out of my way. What's in a name? Bulletin. To all residents. From M. Eberly, Director, Human Resources Department. Subject, Naming Contests. You, the people of this habitat, will decide the names to be given to the five villages, the various work complexes, and the natural areas, farms, orchards, woodlands, lakes, etc., by participating in contests to select such names. Residents of each village will select the name for the village in which they reside. Workers in each factory, processing plant, farm, aquaculture complex, etc., will select the names for such centers. If desired, individual buildings may be given specific names. Each contest will consist of three phases. In the first phase, all citizens will decide on the categories from which names will be eventually chosen. For example, residents will decide whether they wish to name the villages after national heroes, or cities on Earth, or great artists or scientists, etc. In the second phase, specific names from each chosen category will be nominated and discussed. The list of names for each specific site will be shortened to 5, using a secret ballot. In the third and final phase, permanent names will be chosen from the short lists of 5 nominees, again by secret ballot. The Human Resources Department will manage the various contests. The Human Resources Department may appoint one or more panels of citizens to serve as judges, researchers, or in other capacities as needed. A public meeting will be convened at 2200 hours Thursday in the cafeteria to discuss this activity. All residents are urged to attend. M. Eberly, Director, Human Resources Department.
Memorandum. To all Habitat personnel. From R. Morgenthau, Acting Director, Human Resources. Subject, Medical Prophylaxis. As a proactive measure to prevent the outbreak of airborne infectious diseases, every individual's living quarters will be treated with a disinfectant antibiotic spray over the course of the next 4 weeks. Each individual will be notified when her or his building is to be treated. Such treatment will be done during normal working hours. It is neither necessary nor desirable for individuals to remain in their quarters during the spraying procedure. R. Morgenthau, Acting Director, Human Resources.
The first rally. Although there were 2 full-service restaurants in the habitat, virtually everyone ate in the big, noisy cafeteria almost every day. The restaurants were small, intimate, run by harried entrepreneurs who obtained their foods directly from the people who ran the farms and the fish tanks. Just as the nutritionists of Cellini had learned, aquaculture produced more protein per unit of input energy than barnyard meat animals could. Before leaving the Earth-Moon region, several farmers had suggested bringing rabbits or chickens aboard for their meat. Wilmot had sternly rejected the idea, citing horror stories.